Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
All righty then, it's time to blow the dust off those flags. What do you say we get that green flag in the air and let's talk some racing, shall we? Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior here in the Racetime Radio studio. Sure hope you had a great weekend. We're going to get your weekend cap back off. What's going on, Junior?
Hey, there's one more week left in NASCAR racing.
Yeah, one more.
And what that means, the Snowball Derby's right around the corner.
Oh, it is, too. Yeah, it's just about time to start chucking some snowballs.
That's right. And we're really close to the start of the 2020 season.
Ah, inching a little closer every week, right?
Absolutely. We're getting there.
Yeah.
The off season up here in Canada, you know, we are so busy all summer long. Now that we get to the off season, and the last couple of weeks have been pretty chill. You know?
Yeah.
We've been, it's almost like you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But the last couple of weeks, got a chance to watch lots of NASCAR racing on TV, obviously, from all the races down south and lots of cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, there sure is. Schedules being planned right now. And I know the APC schedule is getting closer. It's not going to be, I'll bet you it's not 2 weeks and that schedule will be out for the APC series presented by Grisdale here in Ontario. The Parts for Truckster had their banquet last night. So Dylan Blankhorn got his championship trophy and all those guys. So lots of banquets happening and some more big banquets still to come.
Yeah, definitely. The Sunset Speedway banquet was this past weekend as well. It was yesterday on Saturday. And lots of stuff locally. Everybody getting excited. Sauble Speedway as well. It wrapped up last weekend. Lots of celebration of what 2019 was, and a lot of hype going into 2020 as well. There's no shortage of hype. Everybody seems to be moving and shaking a little bit more than normal. And we're noticing some really intriguing changes coming down the pipe in, local tracks and as well some touring series. You know, we're hearing lots of rumors coming down through the pipe that there's some changes happening, and that's definitely exciting.
Well, not even 1 week to go, and we'll know who the Gander Outdoor NASCAR Truck Series champion is going to be. And I'll tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. Right off the top, we're going to have, how about the driver of that number 88, the Thor Sport Ford of Matt Crafton is going to join us. If you missed the race on Friday night, I'll tell you what, you missed a dandy. Matt Crafton qualified his way in for a kick at the third championship. Yeah, he's got two of them. He hopes to come away, Junior, on Friday night with a third championship, and I kind of like his chances. He's going to be good.
Yeah, definitely. And, it was funny this past weekend, in the pre-race show, they all but wrote Matt Crafton off.
Yeah.
Pre-race show, listening to Todd Bodine and those guys, they definitely kind of, wrote the Thor Sport group off for even making it into the Final Four. Now, look at this. They go out, they perform, they did an amazing job at Phoenix and at ISM. They had a great race, obviously didn't end up in victory lane, but pointed their way in and got into the Final Four. When you look at the Final Four in the Truck Series, really, you got a point at Matt Crafton as the favorite because of the experience and because of the team. That being said, they're not favorite on the speed chart over the past 10-week trend. The 52 has turned a massive corner with speed. They showed that on Friday night at ISM, and really the past 10 weeks they've been lights out. And then as well, Ross Chastain and Brett Moffitt have been you know, stout on the speed charts. So I think that Matt Crafton has got some work to do getting down to Homestead, but it was Ford Championship weekend for a long period of time, and guess what he's driving? They've got a lot of resources. Ford has, Ford has got a ton of solid results down there, and I know that Matt Crafton's got it done before. So looking forward to talking to him, looking forward to hearing what, his excitement level going in, and definitely it's going to be an exciting, Final Four to watch down at Homestead.
We're
going to
hear from young driver out in Canada's East Coast. We got Owen Marr going to join the program, driver of the 66. He's into a really cool program, Junior, and he started out as one in a thousand. The contest broke down. Now, this is for a trailer. The contest broke down to, your top 50, then the top 25. Guess what? Young Owen is now into the top 10, and he is the only Canadian that's involved in this contest, and we're going to catch up with young Owen tonight on the program, catch you up on what all is involved there, and maybe you could give young Owen a hand here, and we could get a Canadian a brand-new trailer. That would be cool. He's only 13 years old, but I'll tell you what, he is one very, very mature 13-year-old, and he's got a bright future, and we're going to hear lots from him throughout the course of time. You're going to hear from him tonight. We'll also catch up with the NASCAR Pinty Series champion, driver of the number 27 Mopar Dodge. Been trying for 3-4 weeks now to get Andrew Ranger on the show. Finally, the parties have settled down, and we're going to have the champ on with us tonight. And to wrap the show up, I thought it'd be a great idea to catch up with one more truck guy, a guy that is a real good friend of Race Time Radio. He drives the number 98, used to got champion on the side of it. We got Grant Enfinger going to join the show. Thought he'd be a great guy to talk to heading into Homestead and our final guest of the night.
Yeah, definitely. Not in the Final Four. He obviously wanted to be.
Right.
Still an awesome shot at getting a good result in the final point standings of the year. Grant has had a...
He won the regular season.
Absolutely. Won the regular season. And, he's right up there to get that fifth spot in points. It'll be interesting to see, what he can pull together. We'll definitely ask him what he's got coming down the pipe for 2020. We'll catch up with Grant and he's a name that, for years and years on end, always surfaced in that little snowball derby conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting to hear if he's got anything on the late model docket put together. I know that, his management group, are big proponents of super late model racing. Hopefully he can trickle out some news if he's going to be running a snowball derby car. We'll definitely ask him about that. If not, I can pretty much guarantee that Grant Enfinger will be there watching.
I know Sue is working on grabbing Matt Crafton right now as we speak, but I got to also let you know that Matt Crafton was just getting ready to board a plane. He's leaving Phoenix, and I don't know whether he's heading back to Charlotte or whether he is on his way actually to Homestead. We will find out, but I know he was kind of in transition. He was hoping everything was going to work out for tonight's interview, and I know Sue is working on that. So before we get Matt on, or while Sue is working on that, what do you say we hear from the guy that won Phoenix on Friday night, Stuart Friesen? He did a great job behind the wheel of that 52 truck. Let me see here. Which clip are we going to play first here, Junior? I think we will listen to this one. Here's what Stu had to say looking forward to the weekend.
It's perfect. Great timing to build some momentum for the championship. We have a great truck today that GMS Fab Shop built for us. And good, we got our favorite truck we're running next week that we've, got a lot of time under our belt with. Going to Homestead with good notebook on that truck, a good notebook on the track, and some momentum. So it's all good.
Now, that if you watch the race on Friday night, Stu Friesen was outside pole, going to start that race second. He was looking for a good start. He got a great start. Only problem was 16 didn't go for some reason. Don't know whether he spun the tires or something, but NASCAR levied a penalty on lap number 3 when the caution came out. They put the 52 to the rear. And, man, did that stir.
Definitely. I hear you. 100%.
It really stirred Tripp Bruce up, like, big time.
Well, I mean, it's one of the main rules when you look at the NASCAR sanctioning body. You cannot beat the leader to the line on the initial start.
But
you
what happens can't... if the leader doesn't go?
I mean, it's another...
You spike the brake and wreck everybody?
And NASCAR puts you in that box. And, you know, when you do look at it, there was... You know, there's plenty of times where there's, you know, subjective calls made in NASCAR.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones, longest standing, everybody in the field knows it. You can't beat the leader to the line on the initial start. Now, NASCAR has taken steps to remedy that, that particular rule, because it used to be that way for all starts.
Right.
Now, it's only that way
on
the initial start. And as well, going forward into restarts, you have the restart box. They do that, to even the playing field. You know, you don't want to be jumping to lead the first lap. And, when you look at it, you say, well, Stuart Friesen couldn't have done anything differently in that situation.
He couldn't have.
And I agree. But black and white rule book says that the leader cannot beat the second place guy cannot beat the leader to the line. difficult situation for everybody to be in. But I tell you what, they put a fire under their butt, and they went out there and got a result.
Well, here's what Stu Friesen had to say in the media center after the race. Of course, he won it. And how he will approach it if he starts second at Homestead. Here's what he had to say.
Going into next week, if we are second, I'll know how to, just let the leader take off and then fire behind him, I guess that's the way you're supposed to do it. I don't know. But been racing a long time. Dick Bergeron told me once years ago after we had, had a weird dirt race go against us. And he asked me if I'd ever been screwed. And I said, yeah. He goes, you ever been unscrewed? And I said, no. So that's how racing goes sometimes. I've took those words, filed them deep inside, and it comes back. You can yell and scream and hoot and holler and everything else and let them know you're angry, but they're never going to reverse a call. I grew up playing hockey, and was on the wrong end of many penalties that I'd swear I didn't do. That doesn't mean I didn't get to sit my 2 minutes in the box. So that's how it goes. And, ultimately a great Hallmark Chevy Silverado and a great race team, won the race today.
Yeah, they did. And they did a masterful job at it. It was, he put on the show.
He did put on a show, and really, the amount of wins that Stuart Friesen should have should not be 2. It should be 15, with how well they've ran over the past 2 years. It's really interesting to see how fast and how awesome that 52 truck has been. The GMS team itself at the beginning of the year did not have the speed.
No.
There was a handful of races in there, right out of the gate, where everybody was kind of shaking their head and saying, what is happening with GMS? They were trying some stuff. You could tell because they've turned a massive corner and they've done some pretty amazing things. But when you look at, obviously it was adversity, but you do have to wait for the leader to fire off at the beginning. So, it's a tough deal to swallow, but it happens in racing and calls go against you all the time.
Well, we'll hear more with Stu Friesen in a bit, but what do you say we get to a 2-time champion in the NASCAR Gander Mountain Outdoor Series? We got Matt Crafton on the hotline. What's going on, Matty? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, not a lot here in the airport waiting. Try to get on the next plane.
Getting out of Phoenix. Quite a weekend for you, bud. You did a great job getting into that Final Four there on Friday night. Take us through that one. It was exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we had everything to gain and nothing to lose. That's what I said going into the deal, and that's why I raced the thing. I knew we had to get as many stage points as we could and be able to get him on his heels, and that's what we ended up doing. Just raced our butt off all night, and Junior and everyone there at Dorsport, they gave me a phenomenal truck to be able to race and do what I did.
So tell me, who was calmer? Was it you inside the truck in that Menards Ford, or was it Junior on top of the box? Because I'll tell you what, I don't know how either one of you kept your composure.
I was very calm, to be honest. I mean, there was only a couple times a little bit wound up, but besides that, I mean, that just comes with the nature, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a dynamite race. You could see it progressing. I didn't know, Matt, whether you were going to be able to even pull the win off. It was looking that way. And then the truck sort of settled in after that second stage. And then you had two of your teammates ahead of you. And I'm looking at the points going, man, he may need those two spots.
Yeah, without a doubt. At that point, I mean, I knew that we could race to win for sure. But I didn't need to put myself in any position. A few different times I tried to pass Grant, and it was a race for the lead, I guess. And the risk versus reward on that deal wasn't worth it. So at that point, I just sat there behind him and hoped that we went green there on out. And I knew at that point the leaders got away from us too far, and we weren't going to be able to catch him. But I just had too much to lose, and a lot gained by just sitting where we did at the end.
You get down to the final four. Now we head to Homestead Miami Speedway. You've got two championships to your credit. You've raced this track lots. It's a high lane speedway. You got to run right up next to the wall if you're going to maintain your speed. What's your thoughts heading into Homestead? Are you a favorite, do you think, Matt, for the win at Homestead? Or do you think guys like Stu are going to be up there too?
They don't favor us as one of the favorites. They're fools. At the end of the day, we've won there, and we've won championships there. So you should be watching that bright red or bright yellow Menards Ford F-150 and up front all day.
Yeah, it comes down to it, right? How much emphasis are you going to put on practice and qualifying? Do you need much practice there? Is that 88 ready to rock and roll? Will you need much time?
Oh, yeah, you're going to need practice, without a doubt. Practice makes perfect. But at the end of the day, you just only get one set of tires, so you got to make the best of it whenever you do go out there and practice. And your tires do have a lot of fall off, and you got to make it good for the long run.
I got to take you back. We haven't talked to you since then, but I got to take you back. You unloaded as a surprise entrance at Florence in your dirt modified. You're going to be up there on the cushion this weekend. But did you have some fun out there?
No, not really. I got turned over on the first lap.
So, I know.
I guess the guys in front of us out there is going to win the race on the first lap and ended up spinning out in front of me and got me tangled up in a mess. But all in all, I that racetrack, a phenomenal racetrack, and I've been to there and watched a couple races. I've wanted to race there, and that's why I was so disappointed to go out there and get tore up on the very first lap, very first corner.
I hear you, man.
That sucks, man. You never had that happen, and you went to the IWK 250 like three or four times. You never had that happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's part of it, though.
Yeah, it is. In dirt racing, right? It happens all the time on dirt, and I don't know why.
It's shorter races at the end of the day. I mean, people think they got to go. I mean, go, go, go. I mean, from start to finish, that's what makes the dirt racing so exciting. It's usually only 30 laps.
We're with Matt Crafton tonight. Of course, he's going to go for the gusto when he hits Homestead Miami Speedway come Friday night under the lights on a racetrack that Matt has won at. He's capitalized twice, two championships, heading for a third this year. It's going to be an exciting one. Matt, we look at the stages. You're not going to need stage points come Friday night. Those are going to kind of go out the window. I know you're going to want to lead everything, but do you show your whole hand in the first two stages, or do you hold something back for the final stage and let her rip at the end?
No. You go for gusto from the green, and you got to stay up front all night. Track position is going to be key. I mean, Homestead is a place you can do some passing on, so but you still got to have track position there at the end, so you got to go from the green.
Matt, are we going to see, I haven't seen, you know, what tire is going to be on. Is it the same tire that they were on last year at Homestead? Because fall off was
I'm not sure.
You don't know. Yeah.
I'm not sure. It'll be, it's going to have 10 tire fall off regardless. I mean, that's just what Homestead is. Just has a ton of tire fall off. I mean, places wore out old, awesome racetracks.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go ahead and get onto that plane with Junior. Are you guys heading back to Charlotte, or are you going right down to Homestead and getting started?
I'm going to Charlotte. Yeah, I'm heading to Charlotte right now, heading home for a couple days.
Yeah, head home, relax a little bit. What's your week look like? You got everything? Did you get everything cleared off so that you go into Homestead just bright and chipper?
I wish. I just got to do the media stuff and do all the stuff that NASCAR asks us and get all the excitement and hyped up for Homestead week.
Well, it's going to be dynamite, my friend. I'll tell you what, Junior and I are going to be glued to the tube for a couple of reasons, and you're definitely one on my list. Matt, good luck in the race. Go out there and do what Matt Crafton always does, and you take that Menards Ford right to the front, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. That's Matt Crafton, driver of that number 88. He's always a great guest, never says no to us, and we really appreciate that from Matt.
Yeah, definitely. He's a great cat. And, you know, it's cool because through RTR, you know, on the journalistic side, we say this a lot. I'm a fan of certain people.
Sure.
And I'm a fan of Matt Crafton. He's, you know, he's such a cool cat. You know, I love watching him race, and you know, he's definitely, you know, always gracious, and you know, he always speaks his mind too. And
sure does.
The guy is you know, he's a veteran of the sport for a reason. He's going to remain in the sport for a reason, you know, he does such a good job for Menards and for Duke and Ronda at Thor Sport. I always get a kick out of Thor Sport's marketing programs, you know, it's really interesting to watch the progression of where Thor Sport started and where they are today. There's such a superpower of a team. It's really interesting, and their home is the Truck Series.
It is.
They're not in the Truck Series. They're not in the Truck Series with a focus of going to Xfinity and then going to Cup. They are a staple of the NASCAR Truck Series, and you know that is. You know, we've seen so many teams come and go from the Truck Series mainly. From the Xfinity Series, such a hard go to remain, you know, at the top of the pinnacle of any series. And when you look at what Thor Sport has been able to do, you know, the business model that they have, the sponsors that they have more sponsors than some of the Cup teams out there.
Yeah,
and they do it on the back of a wicked solid program. And you know, you look at the guys that they have, you know, running the teams, if you will, you know, Pepper and the guys who actually, you know, head up the crew chief role for each individual Thor Sport team. It's incredible to see, and it's going to be really interesting to see where they are in 5 years. You know?
Yeah.
It's something that I like to take note of, and really, when you look at the Hendrick, when you look at the JGR, when you look at RCR, you have to put a team like Thor Sport right there with them because they are at the pinnacle of their tier or of their series. And you know, it's all about competition. It's not about just getting to the racetrack. It's all about competition. And really, there's only a few teams really in professional auto racing that are like that.
And look what Thor Sport has done, right? They were huge with Toyota, and they made the jump last year into Ford. And I know I struggle all the time when I say the number 88 of Matt Crafton. I'm used to saying the 88 Toyota, but he's not. He's a Ford, and they have really turned the corner with Ford. I think they're going to really, really shine. If not at Homestead Miami Speedway, watch out for them in 2020. But I think he's got a really good shot at Homestead.
Yeah, definitely. And really, when you look at the manufacturer battles throughout the year, right, throughout the years, back in the day to now, Toyota is you know, taking these teams out back behind the woodshed, and you know, the Fords of the world and the Chevrolets of the world, Toyota is coming in and doing such an amazing job. And you know, you look at the Cup Series. You know, it's unheard of to have three yeah. Toyotas and yeah, yeah. one Ford in the mix and no Chevys. But you look at their development program. You know, you look at the TRD development program that they've put together. The Fords of the world and the GMs of the world have to be chomping at the bit to get teams like ThorSport on their list. And you know, they're definitely doing a good job. We, of course, seen some news come down through the pipe that DGR, which is a Toyota team, you know, right now, David Gilliland Racing with Crosley, they're going to be switching it up and going to Ford next year as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
Ford and Chevrolet need to really take a deep dive on they're slipping as racing entities, I feel, and Toyota is growing as a racing entity. When you look at the NASCAR Pinty Series, really, Mopar is king. They are
well, they were the only game in town, for a little while.
But that's what I mean, yeah. is Chevrolet and Ford are not there. And Chevrolet and Ford, sure, they're at the Cup level. And they're with the, you know, the Hendricks of the world. And they're with, you know, Ford is with the, you know, the Penske's. And they're with those guys. They have a focus at the top. But it goes to prove when you have a highly successful development program, it feeds the talent at the top. Because you're not only grooming drivers, you're grooming crew members. You know, you look at the Toyota group, you know, you see, you know, young engineers start out with a team like Venturini and work their way through to KBM and then, you know, directly into the roles at JGR. And
it pays.
You know, looking at Ford and ThorSport, that relationship is so cool because they basically assume the position of where Brad Keselowski Racing was with Ford.
Yeah.
And that was such a huge opportunity because KBM had that Toyota on lock, you know, because they had the resources and ThorSport was always second fiddle to what Toyota was doing. And when you see it, you know, with the Ford relationship, they're first fiddle 100%, and that is so crucial as a racing organization to have that manufacturer support, and I think that they're going to turn a massive corner again. I know they've got a chance at the championship with one of them. They're going to turn a massive corner again into 2020, and I wouldn't doubt that you see multiple ThorSport trucks in the championship hunt again next year.
Well, we're going to hit a break here on Racetime Radio. When we come back, we're going to finish hearing from Stuart Friesen. Of course, Stu Friesen, driver of the number 52, won the race at Phoenix on Friday night. He is also in that final four. Canada has a shot to win a championship in one of NASCAR's top three. How about that? And Stu Friesen is our Canadian shot come Friday night. And I still have a couple of clips that we're going to hear on the other side of the break. And then we'll hear from Owen Marr out on Canada's East Coast with some really cool stuff that you don't want to miss. Stay with us. Junior and I will be back in just a moment.
Race fans, this is Scott Stuckley, driver of the 22. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and We listen to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. And on demand with the SiriusXM app. Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. We're not going to be on SiriusXM tonight, I don't believe. There is a basketball game that has preempted us come 9 o'clock. But you know what? All of our listeners on SiriusXM can grab it on the app, and they'll be able to listen to it that way. Or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish through the week, or the Performance Motorsport Network.com, various times throughout the course of the week down in the U.S., or Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe you have tuned in on iTunes, because we are available on iTunes as well. Just get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again out there wherever you are. And you can always join us every Sunday night right here, just like you are tonight. But let's go back, and we got to talk about Stuart Friesen, driver of the number 52 in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Did a great job at Phoenix on Friday night. Was started outside pole, if you happen to have missed the race, started outside pole, the leader didn't go, and he beat the 16 to the line. Caution came out on lap 3, and NASCAR assessed the penalty to Stu, put him to the rear of the field, and Stu had to work his way all the way through 32 trucks back to the front. He did it. He ended up winning the race, and there was some comments with him in the media center after the race, and I've got some of them here, and we got to have a listen to it. You know, Junior, he has got two wins now in the truck series, but Friday night was his first asphalt win because the other one was Eldora, so he finally won one on asphalt, and he's been a bridesmaid so many times.
Yeah, definitely. That team has had so much speed at the mile and a half style racetracks. You know, it seems like you know, he's been the mile and a half king on the speed charts since the beginning of the year after race number 4, I guess it was, where they turned a big corner and they started jumping to the top every single time. The short tracks have always been a little bit of an Achilles heel, and the super speedways as well. But this year they've went to a much more, you know, cautious approach on the Daytonas, the Talladegas of the world.
Yep.
Same with the you know, ultra short tracks like the Bristol and Martinsville. He had one of the best trucks at Martinsville just last week.
Yep.
Or just a couple weeks back.
2 weeks.
Yep. And you know, he had a great outing. Obviously was right up in there for the win before getting dumped. you know, when you look at Phoenix, it's a very unique racetrack and it's very technical to get through and to get around. It's not a surprise that he won at Phoenix, but it's not one of the tracks where I would have put Stuart Friesen as, you know, a favorite to win. But when we watched practice on Friday, man, the 52 truck was on it.
Yes,
and,
he was. Yeah.
Even on it through qualifying, it kind of shocked everybody that the 16 went out there and got the pole.
Yeah, because Stu had it before that,
he
right?
Did. Yeah, yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. And, you know, he only got it by, you know, a few hundredths of a second and laid down a good lap and just bumped Stuart Friesen off the pole. But, you know, when you look at the mile and a half stuff, doesn't matter if it's Texas or Charlotte or, you know, the Kansas, the Chicago's, all of those racetracks, Vegas, Stuart Friesen has been up there and has been up there as a favorite to win. So rolling into Homestead, he's going to be awesome there. I think he's going to have some really killer speed. And the guy's not afraid to put it up on the high side. So, it'll be definitely interesting, but, it was definitely a great win for Stuart Friesen and the entire 52 camp.
As mentioned, that is Stuart Friesen's second win in the truck series. First one at Eldora. And this was the first paved win. Here's what Stu had to say about that.
Eldora was cool. That was what started this whole deal for us. That's what got us involved in the truck series, with Chris Larson saying, you know, it'd be really cool to go do that dirt race. And it evolved and snowballed, and here we are. And, you know, we had so many races get away. Mistakes, you know, I made a ton of mistakes, not paying attention, not, you know, grasping the full concept of what was going on sometimes. And it was good, you know, to finally get this one. It would suck to go to Homestead, win the championship, win the race, and be like, oh, it's our first race, you know. So we got this first win out of the way. Now we can really focus on getting the job done next week.
What's that say about Stuart Friesen, that comment right there, and where he talks about, you know, the concentration and making mistakes and stuff like that, blaming himself, really.
Yeah.
And not all of those times where, you know, where he lost the race, not all of those were his fault.
No.
And Stu, absorbing all of that impact, really, if you will, I know it's a little easier to accept it after you've got some wins behind you, but that's telling you a lot about a driver when they can suck it up and say, hey, look, I'm the guy that made the mistake. And yeah, that's cool.
Definitely. And, you know, he touched on it, not grasping the entire situation, you know, and the gravity of each situation that is presented in these longer format races, right? So you see a lot of guys that come off the, whether it be dirt or the Saturday night short track scene, and when they get into a full body car, and now I don't care if it's the K&N series, if it's truck, if it's jumping right into Xfinity, or it's ARCA, you know, coming out of the Saturday night ranks, sure, you might have ran some 100-lap races. Sure, you might have ran some 200-lap races. But it is so dramatically different, the little intricacies that you need to have discipline in to execute at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter what top series that you're watching on TV, when you hear the driver, when you hear the crew chief, when you hear the competition director, when you hear the president of the race team talk, it's about execution. It's not just about going down and laying down lap time.
Right, right.
And you know,
you got to have that, but you got to have everything.
You got to have that, but that's arguably the easy part.
Yeah.
is going out and laying down fast laps. If you can't lay down fast laps, you're probably not at that tier, you know, that level of series in racing anyways. When you look at you know, the small incremental mistakes that can be made, whether it be speeding on pit road, whether it be not having your foot on the brake and during a pit stop,
right?
It's all little things that you do not have practice in, no matter what. It's like going to high school, and when you come out of high school, real life starts, right?
Yep.
In high school, they don't teach you about taxes and about things that it takes, yeah, to live,
right,
your life on a day-to-day basis. You come out of there, and you might know, you know, great English skills, and you might have some really great mathematics skills, but you don't have real life experience, and real life experience translates into success in whether it be life or whether it be in racing. And you know, you hear a guy like Stuart Friesen talk about those types of things, because he's a guy that was at the top of his game in dirt modified racing, in dirt sprint car racing, you know, in whatever it may be on the dirt side. He's king, and you know, he's got the discipline for that level of racing. And they have different disciplines that you need in that style of racing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got those mastered. It has taken time for him to master those, and he's still a student in the game, mastering those small incremental things and overcoming them on the fly. And you, really, when you look at the development series, whether it be the NASCAR Pinty series or the truck series, that's what this deal is about. When you get to the cup level, you're supposed to have all those mastered already.
And
that's why it's so tough, is because they don't only have it mastered in cup, they have it calculated down to the 15th of an inch, or down to the, you know, the thousandths of a second.
Right.
They have those little intricacies figured out. And you know, that is the combination that you see with Stuart Friesen and you know, with Tripp Bruce. That guy has got it figured out. He's won these championships. He's been there. He's done that with numerous other drivers. And, you know, they've got the entire package right now. And really, Stuart Friesen has to go out there and execute flawlessly in order to get this championship. But he's up against – that's why I give Matt Crafton the leg up, if you will, because he's already got those little intricacies figured out. He's been there, done that, and he's ran into more scenarios than Stuart has.
Yep.
So, really, when you look at it, they're doing a great job, and you can't take anything away from mistakes, because mistakes are going to happen. And you know, this entire sport is about controlling every variable that you can come up against. And if you can control the most variables, you're going to end up in victory lane. You're going to end up with the championship at the end of the day.
Well, here is the final clip we've got with Stu Friesen, driver of the number 52 in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. It is Stu's thoughts looking into Homestead and what his thoughts are heading into the biggest race of his truck series career.
It's going to be a tough race, obviously. It's tough to pass at Homestead. Obviously, tire fall off is huge. It falls off lap to lap. You can go, you know, you start a run, you're wide open for a lap, and it backs up. Then you get, you know, right up on the boards, and you got to work that air bubble, and there's a lot of stuff that you can manipulate at Homestead to help yourself out that I've learned, you know, I guess we've been there four times now. Three times, be going there the fourth, and it's just it's a gritty, you know, racetrack paved with you know, the aggregate of the area. So it's you know, looks like you're racing on seashells, and that's what it is. You know, that's what the pavement plants have there. So it's cool, you know, and it's exciting, and you know, to go there and race for a championship is good. You know, we have like I said, it's one of my favorite trucks. We've had a lot of speed with it at times. You know, it was really fast at Vegas, and Tripp and, you know, Charles, these guys got a good notebook with it. So hopefully we can go there and be fast.
Yeah, that's going to be key. He's going to have to be quick. He's going to have to execute. The whole team is. Take great comfort in having a guy like Tripp Bruce on top of the box, calling the shots. You know, things are going to go well in the pits. Tripp's been there, done that. He's a championship crew chief. He's done it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting. I really wanted to get Stu on tonight, but as you can tell, like, the pressure on him right now is huge, right?
Absolutely.
So he is going to be getting prepared for Homestead. We had lots of clips with him tonight. What I want you to do, Canadian race fans, look, not too often, if ever, have we had an opportunity to go out and win a championship in the truck series like we've got coming up on Friday night.
Definitely never.
If you are a Canadian race fan, I want you to do us, all of us, a favor. I want you to contact Stu Friesen, whether it be on Twitter or on Facebook. Let all your friends know we got a Canadian going for it. Let's show Stuart Friesen support like he has never seen before, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's get on this. Let's support our guy. This is equivalent to us going for gold in hockey. If you ask me, this is going to be huge. So please, contact Stu Friesen one way or the other. Let him know that the support from here in Canada, and he knows it, but let's really, really give it to him, and let's get support in that guy. I wouldn't doubt that Stu Freeze, and if he gets out of that truck as the winner and the championship winner, I honestly would not doubt you'll see a Canadian flag get out with him.
Well, you'll see a Canadian flag right beside right beside his name, right above the door anyways.
Well, you will, but I wouldn't doubt will pull a Canadian flag out and parade that Canadian flag around. He is a very proud Canadian driver, and you know what? It would be so cool to see that. I know back when Nelson Piquet, remember when he won?
Yep.
He had his country flag out, and absolutely, we've seen it with different drivers. It'd be kind of cool to see Stu Freeze and jump out with a Canadian flag. It would be just too cool for school.
It would be for sure.
Yep.
And I, you know what? I honestly think that you know, he's not that he's got a shot at it. We can say that all day long.
He's got a huge shot at it.
He's got, yeah, exactly. He's going in as one of the favorites to get this executed. But I think the race is going to be so bomb. You know, it's going to be so exciting.
I think
because
it is too.
When you look at Brett Moffitt, you look at the 45 of Chastain, you look at Stuart Friesen, and you look at Matt Crafton, four completely different driving styles.
Yes.
And there's going to be points in time in that race where one is going to be better than the other, whether it's on new tires, whether it's on old tires, whether it's in traffic, whether it's out of traffic. And you know, Homestead is definitely a very unique racetrack because it's equal on both ends. It's fun to watch. You know, it's definitely a really neat racetrack, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Do you got to win the race to win the championship, Junior?
Trucks, yes.
Yeah?
I think in trucks, the answer is yes. Xfinity, no. And in Cup, no.
Ah, really? Yes. I am the exact opposite of you once again. I believe in the truck series, you're going to have to win the race to take the championship.
In the truck series.
No, sorry, in the Cup series.
Yep.
In the Cup series, you're going to have to win the race to win that championship. Those front four with Harvick, Truex, Denny, he's now in there, and the fourth one is eluding me right now, but those
the 18, the four,
the 18,
the
19, that's right, Kyle Busch.
Yep,
those four. One of those is going to win the race to win the championship in the Monster Energy Cup Series. In the Truck Series, though, I don't know if you got to win the race. I kind of think a guy like Grant Enfinger that we're going to hear from later on tonight, I kind of think he's got a really good shot at it.
Yeah,
pressure, right?
Yeah,
go win the race.
When I look at the Cup Series, you can't write off Kyle Larson at Homestead. He's so
no
good
kidding.
There.
He's against
and,
the fence,
and he's not in the. That's why he would be a favorite for me to win the champion or to win the race at,
to win
at
the
Homestead.
Race. Yep.
He's showed ridiculous speed the past few years there. And, you know, that's why him alone is the answer, is why I answer the way that I do. On the Xfinity side, you know, I think that it varies on who is going to win the championship, because I think that Christopher Bell has got to be a favorite to win the race,
yep,
which would put him in as a champion, obviously. But he seems to find trouble when he's in those situations.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he does not win, I think that I have to point at a completely different name to go out and win that race. And it's a guy who has turned a lot of laps in testing down there, and that's Noah Gregson. I think that Noah Gregson, who is not in the championship hunt, I think he's going to be – he went down there and spent a lot of time testing, and it was well documented through social media. He spent a lot of time testing down there and was arguably one of the best that a lot of people had seen at Homestead. So we seen him last year. He was phenomenal in the truck.
Yes, he was.
And I know that Tyler Reddick was awesome in the Xfinity Series as well. Last year, obviously, went and picked up the win in the number 9 by running that top lane. But I don't think that the RCR camp has got the speed in which to pull it off this year. So that's why I say in the truck series, those top four are going to be all of them are going to be in the top five.
Yeah.
And I think that one of those four is going to win the race. And, you know, obviously we're armchair quarterbacking this deal.
Sure.
I called last week. You said who's in the top four. I put Joey Logano in and Denny Hamlin out. So, I mean,
well,
we're going to be surprised.
No, but you were right until he got an unmatched set of tires on his car when they put the other set on.
Second faster.
Boom.
Yeah. Exactly.
How does that happen? 0.6 seconds on a half pound.
There's a million things that can happen.
Wow. Got to hit this break. When we come back, Owen Marr, young driver from Canada's East Coast. You don't want to miss this. Stick around.
Hey, race fans. This is Derek White, number 99, the OCR Gasbar Chevrolet. You're listening to RTR, Race Time Radio on Sirius.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer barrier. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And in fact, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. I'm Joe, and he's Joe, and we are going back to the hotline, and we're going to welcome in our next guest. This next guest comes to us from Nova Scotia. You can find him usually in his bandolero. He's got a number 66 on that door. He is part of that Marr family. That is his dad. Has been one of those staple pro stock drivers for a lot of years, and he's following in dad's footsteps. Of course, I'm talking about Daryl Marr. And young Owen is doing a dynamite job. He's moving up in the world. He's 13 years old, and he's involved in a contest right now. And he has dusted a pile of the competition and now into the top 10. But let's welcome him into the hotline. And there's Mr. Owen right there. What's going on, Owen? How are you?
Good.
Good. Good man. So you had a decent season this year. Let's start right there.
Yeah, I had an awesome time racing the karts, bandoleras, and I started my first ever race in a legend car this summer.
Wow. How was that? I bet you that really got your attention.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And where did you get your first start in a legend car?
At Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick.
Wow. And you've got lots of laps there with your bandolero, right?
Yeah, I've been racing there for 3 or 4 years now, I think.
Isn't that amazing? Man, you start young. And you're twisting laps. You're doing really good. Now, go-karts as well, right? You've been an accomplished little go-kart runner, too.
Yeah, I race them most Sundays in Dieppe, New Brunswick, and I competed in the Nationals in Ontario and a couple other races in Quebec this summer.
Owen, talk to us a little bit about obviously the differences in driving, a go-kart on the road courses versus driving a Bandolero. Doc, obviously you have fun doing both, but which one do you prefer? And talk to us a little bit about the differences.
Well, I don't know. They're both really fun. The carts are lots of fun on the road course, and you're really close to the ground, so it feels super fast. And the bandos are fun, too. There's lots of great competition all across Atlantic Canada.
Just can't get enough laps, can you? You love racing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Chip off the old block, you and your dad, I'll tell you. You're in a contest. Tell us about the contest. You're the only Canadian in the contest, and congratulations on that. But tell us about it.
Yeah, it's the Intech Trailers Max Attack giveaway. I'm entered to be a brand ambassador for Intech and get a brand new 24-foot enclosed racing trailer for next year, which is absolutely crazy.
Oh, you could use one of those too, couldn't you?
Yeah, it would be great.
So,
especially if we can move into the legend cars next year.
Absolutely. So, how can fans help you get there and get a trailer on this side of the border?
Yeah, we shared a quick video on our Facebook page, DM Motorsports 66, and I know you shared the post as well. Thanks for that.
Hey, you're welcome.
And if you head to the website and your page or ours, you can go. You have to watch a couple quick videos, and you can type in my name and vote for me up to 5 times, which would be amazing.
And how's voting going, or can you tell?
Oh, it's been awesome. We've had lots of people supporting us, and it's really been crazy.
That's cool. And the videos and stuff, what are they looking for, Owen? They want definitely a spokesman. If you're going to be an ambassador for their company, they're going to want somebody that can speak. Man, you got that covered. They want a driver that's competitive, and you've got that covered. What else are they looking for? Is there any keys that they're looking for?
Just a great person to represent their company on and off the track.
Well, I can tell you right now, I've watched you on the racetrack, and you do a phenomenal job. You've had good success this year, too, right? How many wins, or do you keep track?
I don't know exactly, but I think out of the 120 or so races I was in this year, just over half of them I had podium finishes, which was crazy.
Ah, that's what you want to do, right? You want to hit the podium. What was the biggest moment for you in the 2019 season? Is there a defining moment from this season that you'll look back on as you get, to be an old fart like your dad and I?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to choose one. I had a great year in the karts, finished second in the championship, and I got to race the legend car for the first time ever at Petty Raceway, which was awesome as well.
So that legend car, is that now something that you guys have in your stable, or were you in somebody else's car? Did somebody give you a ride in theirs?
Yeah, I've got a legend car now, and I'm hoping I might be able to get a few races in it next year, so that'd be awesome.
Yeah, age restriction, right? Or is there an age restriction?
Yeah, I should be able to race in New Brunswick. Not sure if we're able to race it at Halifax yet, but due to the age, but...
With 120 races, they better say yes.
Well, and that's the thing, right? They'll be looking for a standout. If they're going to move the goalpost, so to speak, and allow a young driver in, you got to prove your way in. You can't just say, well, yeah, I've got a bunch of laps on. I should be able to go. They're looking for proof, right?
Yeah.
And you've got the laps on you need. I think you're a patient driver. Does it take much inside that race car to keep that composure when you know you can beat that guy ahead of you, but you can't wreck him?
Yeah, it's so much fun getting to race with everyone, and I've had lots of close racing this year, which has been awesome.
How about support on that number 66? You must have a pile of sponsorship on there, buddy.
Yeah, I want to thank all my sponsors that helped make everything possible, and my parents and grandparents and everyone else that helps work on the car every week to get it ready to come to the track.
Now, how about the crew? Who have you got on your crew? You got different guys? I know your dad would be there, but who else you got on your crew?
Yeah, my grandparents are always helping out. Jeff, Jimmy, my uncle, who helps paint the car, and Wally, who's always helping out around the shop and at the track.
Well, I was talking to your grandfather. I believe it was at the IWK 250, and he sort of tipped his hand. He said, you got to keep your eye on young Owen, man. I'm telling you what, he's gonna go Legends one of these days soon, and it's kind of cool to see. So I know your grandfather is a big cheerleader in behind the scene.
Yeah, for sure. He's always helping out and always been great support.
Good stuff. Now, the other thing that goes with a good race car driver and the ability to go racing is those school marks, right? How are they coming along?
They're pretty good.
Pretty good or just getting by?
They're pretty good.
Well, sounds like you're going to have to tune it up a bit there, bud. You'll have to get some big marks, and then you never know. That car could go a little bit quicker when you get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good stuff. So, finally, tell us the contest. How do fans support you in this contest?
Yeah, head to the link at our Facebook page, DM Motorsports 66, Daryl and Owen, or Owen Meyer 66. And I know you shared it on Racetime Radio's Facebook page as well, so if you head to either of those, there's a link there in that post, and you can click that. It'll take you to the Intech Trailers Max Attack website, and then you just have to watch a few quick little video ads, and you can type in my name and vote up to 5 times.
That's too cool.
Awesome.
I tell you what, I'm on the website right now. These guys make some really gnarly trailers. Like, they are nice. These are nice units.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They are for sure. It would look cool with the big number 66 on the right rear of the trailer. I think that would be cool, man. You good luck, and obviously wish you all the best in this program, and then as well, hopefully see you in a Legends car a little bit next year, and then the year after that, we'll see you in a Pro Stock car.
Thanks.
Yeah, it won't be long, Owen. It won't be long, and I know you're up for the task. Hey, final question for you. We're heading into Ford Championship weekend. Who have you got as your favorite for the truck series, the Xfinity series, and then who do you think is going to win the big cup championship? Who's your favorites?
Oh, I don't really know. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Now, the 52 Stu Friesen from Canada, he's got to be number one in the trucks, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, now Xfinity. Who are you thinking for Xfinity? I don't know who it's going to be.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. How about Cup? Pick your favorite in the Cup series. Is it going to be Kevin Harvick? Is it going to be Truex? Or how about Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin? Which one of those four?
I love Truex.
Truex. We got Cole Pern, right? He's a Canadian on that. He's crew chief on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll keep the Maple Leaf flying. Owen, good luck in the contest. Make sure you keep us up to date, and I know we'll get you back on the show next year as we get into the race season, and we'll see how your progression's all coming.
All right, thanks.
You betcha, buddy. And get those school marks up. You want to go racing and you want the fastest car you can, nothing will do it like straight A's, buddy. Go after it. That's Owen Meyer, driver of the 66. He's out in Canada's East Coast. Sounds like a pretty cool contest he's in.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely urge everybody to take a look at it. Intech Trailers, they make some pretty neat stuff. I've never heard of the company before. So
me
hats
either.
Off hats off to Owen for getting involved. And man, the kid has got some wicked marketing, and you know, he's got like awesome sponsorship. He's got Esso and Maritime Fuels, and he's got Steel Mazda and Inglis Jewelers. They're doing a wonderful job, you know, marketing, and they've got some really neat looking cars, and definitely fans, keep your eye on that kid, because he can talk, and he's getting there. So it'll be really interesting to see where Owen ends up, and twisting 120 races a year out is pretty sporty.
Oh yeah.
That's a big number.
Watching young Owen on the racetrack with the other Bandolero drivers at Scotia Speed World, seen them for a number of years here. Watch these kids grow up. And watch them race. I'll tell you what, Junior, they put on a show, a really, really good show. It's not a situation, oh, Bandoleros are coming out, I'm going to go get a hot dog. Not a prayer. I'll tell you what, they put on a great show. They do a dynamite job. And it's refreshing to see. Start them out young and look at the stars. Look at the stars that it produces. Guys like Cole Butcher. He was in a Bandolero, worked his way through Legend Car. Dylan Blankhorn just picked up his Pro Stock Tour Championship. Guess where he started? Right in those cars. It's very interesting to see the progression and to see what those series can turn out.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's even, Austin McDonald, he comes out of the Legends Car ranks. Just seen him this year over at Riverside when we were there with the Pinty's team. And, obviously twisting laps off in a Pro Stock car now with Rolly and the King Racing team. And, you look down through the ranks and Jared Butcher as well out there. They've got a very strong support system. You're seeing Donald Chisholm's daughter as well.
Emily,
A Bandolero car right now, and they've got such a great little support system out there. Their feeder divisions are so strong, and you see that translate at the top. You see that translate at the Pro Stock Tour level. So when you take a look and here in Ontario, we have the junior late models, right?
Yes.
The junior late model division, which. It has went through a whole pile of different transition periods, and really it's a completely different class than where it started in a way.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more, manufacturing on the parts side. The parts and pieces are a little bit less regulated. I love the Bandolero and Legends car model.
Yes.
That is, I want to talk about that model a little bit, because you're seeing the success of these young kids and they're translating in the Parts for Trucks Tour, but it's also down in the U.S. as well. When you look at the Bandoleros and Legends car model, Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch.
The pre-race show today.
Exactly. They come out of that rank and Bubba Wallace and Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric is on the map because he won $1 million Legends car race. That's why he's on the map. He's in a cup car. Now, he had to perform in order to get there, the reason why he, came on and sprung onto the scene is because of that Legends car $1 million race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So when you look at the feeder division side, obviously Ontario has got a Legends car traveling series.
Yes, yeah. Jeff Remy's got that going. Yeah. I was just in touch with him today.
Yep.
The Legend car series, the Ontario Legend car series, is the schedule is just about planned.
Yep.
And we do have some series dates that we're going to have at Sauble Speedway in 2020. We're also going to have some Legend car races that are Sauble Speedway's own at the Speedway.
And
that's coming up too.
Absolutely. And I think that there's room for that, and really aggressive expansion in the Ontario market for that. Because when you look at junior late model racing, or you look at late model racing, or you look at whatever form, really, the parts and pieces, getting them all dialed in a series where you can make your own parts. The guys who have been there for a long time are making their own stuff, and it's good.
Yes. Yeah.
And in order to get those parts and pieces, you need to either, spend a tremendous amount of time and money figuring that part and piece out, you need to partner up with somebody and pay them to give you those parts.
Right.
When you look
than a big car, right?
100%. When you look at the Legends car, if you are just trying to get into racing,
yep.
Legends cars are the perfect place. And really, Bandoleros, equally the perfect place for young kids. And the reason why I say that is because every part and piece is available through INEX.
And that's the only part and piece you can put on.
Yeah, you can't make your own.
No. Nope.
You can't. It's nope. just, you know, it's simple. It's you can still make adjustments. You can still make tire pressure adjustments. And you can still, you know, make your car handle better than the guy beside you.
Yep, yep.
But the parts and pieces that you have are equal to the other guy.
And they're available in a book.
They're available in a book. You pull out a catalog and you order it. And that there is the success model that is going to carry motorsports into the future.
Yeah.
The guy, the family-run team... who are, you know, making their own spindles in their shop are gone.
Yeah.
There are very few people that can do that. Now, I know some people that are listening. Some people are listening right now in their shop, and they have a welder, and they have a plasma yeah. cutter, and they yep. can do that.
Yep, yep.
And they shake their head at the guy that goes to the chassis builder, drops his car off on Monday after the race, picks it up on Friday, and shows up at the racetrack. Well, newsflash, that's what people have time to do, and those are still cars on the racetrack.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the expensive way of going. If there was a late model style class where every part and piece was spec'd,
yes. yep.
it would be far more healthy than where it's at today.
I would think so, too.
I've seen so many people come into the sport who can afford it. They have a solid job. They have, you know, solid backers behind them. They can go out and get sponsors. But then they realize that they need to do even more than that and spend even more money in order to try and fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look at getting into the sport, the INEX, you know, the model that they have is uber successful, and that is the reason why. The parts and pieces are affordable. They're controlled, price controlled. You know,
teched.
They're teched. You can open up the rule book and look at a part or piece on the car, open up the rule book, look at a diagram, take the measurements, and it's either legal or not illegal.
That's
or,
right.
Or not legal.
And they have gauges and measurement tools, all that kind of stuff, that, like coming out the Wazoo, you can check that car literally bumper to bumper.
Exactly.
To keep things fair and to keep the cost out of it.
And when you look at that model, you know, People ask, is that grooming a racer, right? Because a racer, 9/10 of the battle is overcoming that and learning for yourself how to make your car the best possible piece that it is. The driving portion is a portion of it, right?
And
but you need the people, the personnel that have a half a brain that can figure out how to do it. And then you also need the technical side to be able to diagnose and adjust your car accordingly.
Yep.
There are a billion different variables. You can move, look at Joey Logano today.
Yeah.
You can move a half a pound of air, and when everybody's dialed in that close, you can dial yourself out. Well, with the Legends car, it takes a little bit of that out of it.
Yeah.
Because you're not fighting a losing battle where there's another guy that has got a trick set of spindles, or he's got a different control arm set up.
Yeah, that you don't even know is even out there.
You don't even know exists.
Yeah.
And the only way that you would know that it exists is if you went to that guy and bought that part or piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, when you look at the state of late model racing today, and it's not just late models. It's super stocks. It is, you know, four cylinders. It is all the way up into the ARCA series and the Cup series. That's why there's alliances. That's why a team like LFR has to partner with Joe Gibbs Racing. That's why a team like, you know, GMS has to partner with Hendrick.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, a guy that is in the APC series has to go to a chassis builder like McCall, because they have that data and they have that technical side. Now, you know, when I stand back and look at what is holding back, I have worked with teams that have bought three different setups for rear control arms in one single year. they do the exact same job in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
And every time they do it, they're spending $4,000.
Yeah,
or they're spending $2,500.
Big bucks.
You know, and when you look at Legends, that model,
the race pays $1,900.
The race pays $1,900, and you're going to spend $2,000 because you've seen it in a book, or you went to PRI and you've seen this new trick, you know, control arm, or this new trick steering box, whatever that may be.
Right. Right.
You know, it takes that out of it. Now, racing is built on ingenuity.
Yes.
And I think that there is merit to ingenuity within racing.
Yeah, you got to have it.
And I think that that is what makes this a lifestyle, not just a pastime. You know, it consumes you, and you need to, you need to work on your stuff in the shop. You can't just put a cover over it like you can a Legends car. You can't just put a cover over it, take the cover off, and go racing the next weekend
if
you didn't run into anything. You need to bring it back, and you need to take it apart, and you need to put it back together in a different way, and you need to go racing. I like the fact that that is part of racing. Don't get me wrong when I say that there needs to be spec parts in racing.
Well, it would cut down the expense. A little bit, not off topic, sort of right down the lane here. I want to let everybody know, if you're up in southern Ontario and you're interested in racing, maybe you've got a car that you haven't raced in a couple of years or a year, and you've had it off to the side, and you're waiting to see what's all going to transpire. I want to let you know that on December the 8th, and keep your eye on the Sauble Speedway Facebook page, I believe it's going to be December the 8th. We're working on securing a location for a driver's meeting. And believe me when I say that it is going to shake this up. It is really going to shake it up. We have got a plan at Sauble Speedway that I believe is going to fit everybody, and it is actually going to blow your mind. So I want you at that meeting. If you want to go racing in 2020 and you want to have a look and be part of something that is totally something brand new off the wall that I can guarantee you will interest you, December the 8th, Sauble Speedway, and you don't want to miss that meeting. I will we'll confirm it for sure. Keep an eye on the Sauble Speedway Facebook page, and it'll be up there as soon as we have the date locked in. I believe it's going to be December the 8th, and believe me when I say it's going to shake it up.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
It's going to be totally different.
It is. And
totally different.
And
it involves everybody.
Yeah,
it's not just
one class. It's not just one group. It's not just it's if you have a race car, you should be at this meeting.
That's right.
In Ontario.
Yes.
If you have a race car, you should be at it.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to get Canada's national champion on the hotline. We got Andrew Ranger, the NASCAR Pinty Series champion. We finally got him, and he's going to join us next live. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, J.R. Fitzpatrick, driver number 84. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Hey, back!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
They don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. We are going to go back to the hotline right away. Let's bring in, I believe the champagne will have wore off by now and reality is set in for the driver of the number 27 Mopar Dodge. I've got Andrew Ranger, Canada's national champion, the third time he's a champion, and he's with us. How you doing, Andrew?
Very good. Fantastic.
Good, man. So the champagne, it's all over now. Everything is all done. Now you get to absorb and soak in that championship. Congratulations on it, buddy. You did an amazing job, you and your whole crew.
Thank you very much. Like you say, it's a third championship, and that one was very, very tough. We've been fighting all season, and to have four wins, a lot of top five, and finally win the championship at the last race, just unbelievable. And everybody, all of my crew, my spotter did a great job, and I'm so happy for them. You know, it's we've been working very hard, and to win a third championship, it's just fantastic.
Andrew, that could have, like you say, could have gone either way. Man, you had a really good start to the season. You had a good points lead built up. And then all of a sudden, you know, you guys tripped a couple of times there. The things didn't go right. And before you know it, man, the 74 team, they are in the points lead or right there. I was going, oh, boy, man, this could go either way. And as it worked out, you had to keep your nose to the grindstone for it to all work.
Exactly. You know, it's we have after wet, actually, middle of the season, we have like a pretty good lead in the championship. And three races where it's been tough, Trois-Rivières, Mossport, and Antigonish, where we struggled there a little bit and we lost a lot of points. And the 74 won some race. So we lost all the gap we have. And after two races, we only got, I think, 2 points between me and him. So, the last two races was just stressful, and everything can happen in that moment. And in the last race, it's there where we won the championship. So just a great feeling, great to see everybody there, and it was just fantastic.
Ranger, you touched on it a little bit there, bud, on the four wins. Most people that are listening, if they live under a rock and they don't know what those four wins were, all four wins came on an oval. Where did that come from?
People say Ranger is a road course driver, but I I won four oval races. So just crazy. My crew built a brand new oval car this last winter, and it proved that everything worked pretty good. You know, we were able to win four wins on the oval and the road course. We finished a lot of time in top two, top three, but never have the chance to win. So maybe we need to work a little bit harder on that program. But right now, it's everything was just amazing this year.
Andrew, a lot of drivers may not know this, but you are a teacher on road courses too, right? Guys can actually take one of your courses, can't they?
Yeah, I'm a teacher on the road course, but I'm not able to win a race this year.
This year, I've seen you win your share of road course races, my friend.
Yeah, I won a lot, and as just said, this year it's what happened. We passed close, but we never be able to win. But overall, it's just a great season and great guys, great crew, and great sponsor. Everything was just a dream this year, so I'm so happy for them.
So what do we do now for 2020? We're far enough away from the championship. We got the future. We're staring it down the eyes here. What do you do in 2020? Do you go back and defend, or what's your plan?
My plan is to go back in the NASCAR Penske Series again. I don't have anything for South. Maybe some race. I don't know, but right now I have nothing, so... My goal is to come back in the series again with Chrysler Mopar. My boss is a great boss, great sponsor, and great people to work. So it's really easy, and to do again a good deal with DJK Racing, DJ Kennington, with David White and the program, all their crew we have. If I can repeat the same thing, it's what I want to do, you know.
If anything that you take away from 2019 and that championship, you got to know, and nobody will know better than you, Andrew, what kind of curveballs can get thrown at you, and you're not going to be able to go into 2020 with the same program you had this year, because it just may not be enough to be successful in 2020. Is there a lot that you think you got to change for next year?
Well, you know, it's... If I say just the crew, I don't want to change anything, you know. Everything was perfect. Everybody are going in the same way. Our overall program is just amazing this year. 4 wins. I don't know how many top 5, top 3. If something we need to change, it's definitely maybe our road course program where in Mossport, the last race, we struggled there. Corvier was a little bit tough. But overall, you know, I don't know what we can change because everything was so fantastic this year, so great, great car every weekend. I knew that I was able to win, you know, every weekend. So I just want to, if I can repeat the same thing I did this year, is what I will do.
Ranger, you know, obviously you and I know the inner workings of the team with DJ Kennington and yourself. But a lot of the people that, you know, maybe watch these races or one-off, you know, see these races, DJ Kennington is obviously the owner of the 27 car, and you guys work hand in hand, you know, and you guys work on setups and you guys work in practice together, you guys work in the race together. But you know, a lot of people, and I think a lot of people would get a kick out of seeing behind the scenes, you two race each other harder than you race anybody else on the racetrack, both DJ and yourself. And talk to us a little bit about that not necessarily rivalry, but the fire within to beat each other, and that only elevates the program out the back end. But you guys are so competitive on the racetrack. I think you hit 5 cars this year, and all 5 of them were DJ. And I think the same numbers were DJ as well. It was back and forth. But
but at the same time, he's my boss.
Exactly. But you guys race each other so aggressively. Yeah. You don't wreck each other, and I'm not saying that.
No. Right.
But you guys race each other so aggressively. It's got to be a lot of fun behind the visor of that helmet to race with DJ out there.
Yeah. No, it is fun, seriously, with DJ. Like you said, we share our setup. We try something different. And one guy you want to beat on the track, it's your partner. So that's why, you know, we always want to fight together. But the good thing is we play clean. So every time we finish a race, we smile, we laugh, and if he finished in front of me, it was okay. If I finish in front of him, too. So if we have respect on the track, it's what we need. So I have nothing to say about it. And
in the same time, DJ, he's the owner of the team, and it's a boss. So to me, it's a big challenge, but I always have fun with DJ on the track.
Absolutely.
We are with Andrew Ranger, driver of the 27 Mopar Dodge, champion in the NASCAR Pindy Series for 2019, his third national championship. I know there's a couple times, Andrew, that I've watched you and DJ race, and I go back, not this year, but to the year previous, DJ won the race. But I'll tell you what, he roughed you up with about, 20 laps to go in that race. He roughed you up unnecessarily in my books, and I was kind of mad at DJ for doing that. I thought, what are you doing, 17? He ended up winning the race, and I believe you came in the top five. But in the same respect, there's got to be times where that gets old, and don't rough me up. If you're going to race me clean, don't run me over.
No, exactly, but, I know what the race you're talking about, and it's there where he was, like, perfect all weekend long. You know, he was P1 on practice, he qualified on the pole, and he was just a rocket during the race, and yes, we touched there pretty aggressive, but he had a pretty good chance to finish in the top three in the championship, if I remember that. So I knew that he wanted to go in the front, and he won the race, so... You know what? I was not happy about it, but I understand what happened during the race, why he did that, and this is racing, you know? So nothing I can say.
Yeah, sometimes you're the bug, and sometimes you're the windshield, right?
Exactly.
For sure. Andrew, looking back at 2019, obviously it was a great season. The turning point, I don't know if you would agree to this, but I feel that a turning point was race number one at Saskatoon. I think that was definitely a point where everybody's direction on the team kind of changed from, hey, we need to win each race that we go into, to, hey, we need to race for a championship. I think obviously the goal is to go out and win a championship, but at that point of the season, it kind of turned internally to, we have to be smart because this is something that moving forward is going to be aggressive. And from that point, you know, until you reach Trois-Rivières, it was probably one of the coolest moments in racing that I've seen behind the scenes. But take us back to race number one at Saskatoon, I remember you qualified. I believe it was ninth out of 16 cars. but as soon as the green flag dropped, that car drove straight to the front. Take us back to that moment and kind of your mindset from that point of the season on.
Well, I think it's just the trip, the West Wing trip. It's really hard for the team, very hard for the driver. And in that point, we're there in Saskatoon with all the team. We tried to have a lot of fun in the same time. And I know it's a very important race because it's a back-to-back race. And the first race, you need to push, but you need to make sure that you can do the second race. And we were like P1 in practice or P2 in the top three, something like that. And we came there and qualified, I think, mid-pack or something like that. So I was, we were confused. We were like, what happened there? You know, we couldn't believe it. And right on the start to the end, we were able to go in the top side and try different line and pass a lot of cars, and I think we finished third or second right on the bumper of the leader, and right there we knew that we have a good car for the second race, and it's what happened. We start on the pole and we dominate that race, so right there it made like something happened in the team. Everybody knows that we can win, and it was just amazing feeling, amazing weekend there.
This was your third championship, 2019. Is any one of those championships sweeter than the other?
That one, yes, because every championship you won, it's very important and something special. But that one, it's 10 years, you know. It's unbelievable, 10 years. I raced four or five years in the South for Waste Management. I did a lot of nationwide race, ARCA, Canaan, but in 2013, I came back in a NASCAR Penske series, and we start really, really
it was not easy. You know, we fight with engine, we fight with the cars. But after that, you know, we work really hard with DJ Care Racing, with Mopar, and we finally win a championship for them and won some race for them for the M1 engine. So it's so important. It was so important for me this year because we have everything on table to win the championship. Very stressful season. And look, I came back and we won the race. So it's and won the championship. So it's just amazing.
Well, you still got it, my friend. And it's awesome watching you on that racetrack. I know throughout the course of the offseason, we got to keep our eye on TSN because I somewhere around New Year's, I believe, they will run the full series, all those races back to back. And it's some good television to sit back and watch it through the off season. Andrew, you wowed the fans in every province that you raced in. But I'll tell you what, when you guys were racing in Quebec, I was here in Ontario. I could hear them in my backyard screaming. They were that loud.
Hey, thank you very much. No, it's thank you to have me tonight. You know, it's fun to win a championship. It's fun to want to talk with you guys and. Every time you want to call me, whatever, call me. No problem.
You betcha, my friend. You have a good one. Have a good holiday. I know those are coming up, and I know we look forward to catching up with you as spring breaks and we get ready to go for 2020.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks.
Have fun down at the banquet, too, by the way.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte, go have fun with those guys.
Hey, thank you. Okay.
You betcha. That's Andrew Ranger, our national champion. Forgot about that. He's still got to go to Charlotte and get all his hardware.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool. You know, it's kind of funny behind the scenes a little bit. Of course, after the race, logistics is a difficult, you know, part of the banquet being in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so you
for
win.
For you it is.
You win. Well, definitely for me. I can't go.
Yeah.
You know, for the you win at Jukasa and you get the big beautiful trophy and you spend the night and everybody parties and has a good time with it. That trophy needs to make its way to Charlotte, but Ranger took it with him to Roxton Pond, Quebec.
Oh, did he?
And it's not something that you're just going to FedEx. Like,
no,
it's a heavy trophy. It's a solid, I would say, 60 pounds.
It would cost him a couple bucks.
It would cost him a little bit of money to ship that thing, and I imagine the insurance would be pretty high. So they had to figure out a way to get it from Roxton Pond, Quebec, because you had to pry it out from Andrew's hands.
Right, right.
And it needs to make it its way. I believe it's now in Ontario. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's got to go with the NASCAR people back down so that he can get it again and then bring it home with
him.
Well,
his championship car will be on display.
Absolutely.
At the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep. The Mopar 27 car will be down there. I was talking to DJ, I guess, last week, and the Mopar car, they had to go through and fix some of the body work on it. And
champagne soaked with the confetti still on it?
No, it's got to be gleaming for sitting in the Hall of Fame. So, and there wasn't, it's interesting, but they've got a they did the work to it. They've got it all, you know, spit shined up, and it'll look like a brand new piece. It'll look like a brand new dime sitting there with all the other NASCAR regional champions.
Okay, so it won't have the confetti on it. It won't be that soaked one.
No.
But it is actually the car that won the race and the championship.
Yes.
It didn't win the race. Brett Taylor won the race, but. Yeah. It's the one that won the championship that he did the donuts with.
Absolutely.
It's not just a show car.
Nope, for sure.
It's the real deal.
It's the real deal, and it'll go down there and spend its time down there. There'll be lots of photos shared, of course, after the festivities are all done and over with the Cup Series. Then the regional banquet will be on, and of course all the touring series will be presented their hardware and looking forward to hearing Andrew's acceptance speech and everybody will have a great time down there in Charlotte looking back on the season, it was really cool to be a part of. I had such a fun time. with each and every one of those guys. One or two too many fat jokes throughout the year. but I will say that
shock them all and show up in the spring 100 pounds lighter.
That would scare them.
Yeah, well,
it
worked for me, right? I'm 100 pounds lighter. Don't do it the way I did it.
No, don't do that. But it would be comical if I showed up. Like
showed
that.
Up. Show up 100 pounds lighter.
Yep.
Curling. I don't know. Whatever. 100 pound curls. And go in there speaking French.
Yeah, yeah.
So learn French and get buff.
Wouldn't that be fun? Sounds like a very motivated offseason.
Wouldn't that be?
And highly unlikely. but, you know, the guys were so much fun to work with all year, and Ranger did such a good job. You know, he is a national treasure in Canada. Like,
yes.
The guy... You know, and the neat part is in the Pinty series, there's so many of them. You know, it's not just a bunch of rich kids that are renting a ride.
No.
You know,
Brandon McReynolds say that.
That's not
he
what
said
the
it's refreshing to run that series.
Yeah,
because you're not running a bunch of racing a bunch of young rich kids.
Yeah.
Is exactly what he said.
And it's not. It's still a development series. And don't get me wrong. Everybody that is there has got the talent to go race down south.
Sure,
they've got the talent to go and do it.
Yep.
You know, don't necessarily have the backing or the correct you know, financial situation for it to happen. But really, when you look at the amount of experience that turn a lap during a NASCAR Pinty's race, you know, you look at all the different disciplines where these guys come from. You know, you look at JF Dumoulin and LP. They come from the sports car side of things, right?
Yep,
the sports car side of things. You know, ISMA WeatherTech and all those styles of racing. You know, lots of Rolex 24 wins and lots of races at Sebring and you know, the Le Mans and all that great stuff. Then you've got a guy like Tagliani, who, you know, he's turned laps in every different form of race car in the world, really.
Sat on top of the pole, you know, for the Indianapolis
exactly,
500.
Exactly. You know, he's went and raced Australian sports cars.
Supercars. Yep.
You've got guys like DJ Cannington who have raced in the Daytona 500. They've raced, you know, Xfinity and trucks and everything. You've got Ranger who started in IndyCar, or didn't start in IndyCar, but made it to IndyCar in the car series
and champ
car, you know, and you know, has spent time in ARCA and Xfinity and everywhere, and you know, that's just a handful of the guys that we're talking about.
Yeah,
and you still have development kids or young talent that is in the series as well, trying to make a name for themselves, racing up against these guys. So really, the talent pool in the Pinty series, you can't say enough about, because sure, there's only 17 or there's only 20 cars, but there's 17 badass drivers out there
that they're coming,
that have wins in multiple different levels of racing. And, you know, it's really cool to see. And when somebody shows up there and jumps in a Pinty's car for the first time, I don't care how good they are. They're not going out there and wowing the field.
Yeah.
Because they are...
They're not going to go out and cook these guys.
They're up against a mountain.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen guys like Noah Gregson. We've seen guys like Riley Herbst. We've seen this year,
Austin,
you know, Chandler
Dillon
Smith
and
Austin
Dillon
and Ty Dillon and... you
Spencer
know,
Gallagher.
The list goes on and on of top-name talent. Brandon McReynolds, you know, top-name talent that are making it down south, that come into our series... Maybe for a road course, or maybe for, you know, an oval
here or there,
and they don't go out there and stomp them. That's for sure. And
no.
To win a championship is a big deal.
Yeah, well, and it takes dedication, and I got to give you credit. Nobody, I don't know of a spotter that is more dedicated to what they do than you. Never seen anybody sit back and study tapes like you do. You take it serious, and I know why you're one of the best, because I see it from this side of the fence. Watching you prepare to go out there and spot, I can't get my own TV because you are studying. And look at you go out and you get the results.
It's a lot of fun.
You got a good driver, but he needs good eyes. And Definitely, if I was in a car, I'd want you, damn it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I don't have a $2,000 headset, though, like some of them.
Well, maybe
That's a dart at Jeff Gottler.
Yeah, well, oh.
$2,000 headset the guy's got. Right.
But he's got a truck when you don't.
I know. He's got a lot more experience.
Jeffrey
than I
just
do.
Smiled.
More gray hairs, too,
I'm
though.
Hitting the break. When we come back, we're going to talk, how about Homestead Miami Speedway with a guy that I kind of think has got a real good chance of getting the victory. Grand Enfinger is going to join us on the other side of the break.
I'm Doug Butler, driving the number 10. Listen to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. I'm like, oh.
Perfect! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
There we go. A little Ked to bring us back, as he does, for our fourth break on every show. Ked, I know you're listening. Good luck with your knee operation. I got one coming up on Tuesday. I finally get to go in and get my knee fixed. Well, at least the first one. I got two of them, and I need both fixed. But we're going to be one down, one up. But I can tell you something else. On Friday night, I am going to be glued to the FS1 and going to be watching the NASCAR trucks hit the track for the final time in 2019. Our next guest is going to figure in to the mix. I can guarantee it. He drives for Thor Sport. He drives the number 98. He is a great friend of Racetime Radio, usually driving that champion Ford. Let's welcome in, how about Mr. Grant Enfinger? How you doing, Grant? What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thank you all for having me on again tonight.
Man, oh man, we come to the end of the season. You're the guy that wins the regular part of the season in the Truck Series, and now you get an opportunity to get back to Homestead and go out there and capture one more checkered flag, buddy. You up for the task?
Oh, definitely, and really everybody on this number 98 Thor Sport Racing team is. So we've got the yellow and black champion power equipment colors on it again this weekend, and that's hopefully going to bring us some good vibes down there, because it's a place we love going to. It is a driver. It's a lot different than every other mile and a half track that we go to. All about tire wear and tire conservation and being able to hold the right foot down a little longer than the next guy. So it's definitely got its own unique challenges, but definitely looking forward to getting there And I feel like we got a great shot at bringing home a checkered flag.
I wouldn't doubt it, Grant. Something that always boggles my mind, and I've been to Homestead a couple of years, and Junior and I and Susie, and we've been down there broadcast live a couple of years at Homestead. I love the facility. Great track. If you've got time, if you've got the ability, get to Ford Championship weekend this coming weekend, and don't miss this truck race. But, Grant, what boggles my mind with Homestead, the inside of the racetrack is always the fastest way around every speedway. But when I watch the truck series, and for that fact, Xfinity and Cup do the same thing, you guys rim ride that racetrack, and you stick it right up against the wall. How come you do that when the fast way that I've always been taught is around the bottom of the speedway?
You know, a lot of that is strictly based off the lack of grip that we have at Homestead. So the tires wear really, really quickly. Actually, for which we have a lot of downforce and quite a bit of drag, sometimes early on in the run, we can run like the first five laps in the run. Sometimes it's better to be in the middle or the bottom of the track. But, yeah, as soon as you get any kind of tire wear and the pace drops off a little bit, we'll be right up there at the wall. And really, more than anything, you know, you've got some progressive banking that helps your mechanical grip when you're up there. So yeah, we don't have the grip actually, you know, in the tires and all, but there's a little bit more grip in the track there. And then if you get super close, you have the air from the wall that can actually help you actually gain sideboards on these trucks and the cars alike, as far as that goes. So it it's something that's kind of tricky to do. It is a short track racer. Most of the tracks I grew up racing, you're right on the bottom most of the places, and if you're on the outside, normally you're getting passed. Well here, you know, at Homestead, you're everybody's fighting for the outside normally.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that's not quite natural for me, but man, I enjoy the challenge, and I've had a lot of fun racing there. It's by far the most fun from a driver's standpoint that you can have at an intermediate track. So it's definitely a lot different. We go with a completely different mentality at Homestead than we do at all of our other mile and a half tracks we go to on the circuit.
Yeah, pretty safe to say you're not going to have your spotter in here saying, okay, one outside, one outside.
No, that's for sure. And, you know, it's completely different aspects, but a lot of it, you're fighting with yourself your whole time. You know, you're racing the track more so than the other competitors. So a lot of the places that we go to, we're right out wide open in these In our Gander Outdoors F-150, we'll especially in qualifying, we're all the way wide open, and in the race, we're just barely cracking it. Well, Homestead is nothing like that. I mean, you know, qualifying, we'll be on the gas a lot, but not quite wide open. And then, you know, 30 laps in the race, we're 3 seconds off the pace.
Wow.
You know, from what we started it. So it's the tires wear so quickly there, and I think it obviously adds a huge challenge to not only the driver but the crew chief. But man, it is so fun and so different than every other track we go to. It's definitely a unique challenge.
Grant, talking a little bit about that, you know, back in the day, you used to watch NASCAR races at Darlington, and they would talk about, you know, reinforcing the side of the cars. You know, they talk about reinforcing the front end and the back end at a place like Bristol back in the day. But in today's day and age, do you guys do a bunch of different stuff to the right sides of those trucks to be able to take a little bit of impact throughout the weekend with the fence there? Or is that all mandated? I don't know the rules package, but is that something that goes into it?
Man, that's actually a really good question, because we can beef up some stuff when we go to Eldora in tracks like that. Some teams choose to do that. We do not do anything. You know, speaking for Thor Sport Racing, or at least on our 98 F-150, we don't do anything to beef up there. We'll be right at the wall, but Jeff Hensley doesn't want me to hit the wall. So that's kind of the difference. And honestly, in the trucks, with the amount of tail offset that we have a little bit of cushion built in there. So we can scrape it a little bit without doing much damage, but much more than that, you will do some damage. So that's definitely an interesting point you brought up, Joe. And I'm not sure if any of our competitors or any of the guys in the Xfinity or Cup deal are doing that now, but that's a good question.
Well, experience is going to play key, as always, at Homestead Miami Speedway. And, Grant, you're getting to be one of those crafty veterans now. You're an ARCA Series champion. You've been there, done that. You've got truck wins. What would it be like when you look at the Final Four, you do have one of your teammates in there. What's it going to be like? We know you're going to go for the win. Is there going to be any sort of, I got to let this guy go, or that never happens?
You know, there's not a lot of letting that guy go in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series. If you've ever watched one of our races, there's not a whole lot of give, and there's a whole lot of take by everybody, it seems like. So our job is to come home with the win for our champion Power Equipment number 98 guys, and that's our sole focus. We obviously want Thor Sport Racing and Ford to end up with this championship, and we want nothing more than for that to happen. But our job is to get our 98 champion Power Equipment F-150 in victory lane, and we'll try to do that any way we can. So that's our focus. You know, obviously we'll be talking with our teammates, you know, after practice and during practice and stuff like that, and we obviously don't want to put anybody in a bad position, but we're there to win the race. So that's our sole focus, and we don't have to worry so much about stages and stuff like that. It's just a matter of putting ourselves in position to win. And you know, this is the place. We're taking a different truck this year than we had last year, but a lot of our same package, and we have had some success here last year. We were able to sit on the pole and had a lot of speed, and ended up coming home second, and that one stung a little bit. Feel like we had a truck that was, you know, it was definitely one of the top two or three there. And anytime you have a F-150 that good, you want to put it in victory lane. So that's definitely our focus. And we're going to do everything we can to get there.
Just so you know, I got to throw this in there. I wasn't going to bring that second place finish up because the tears actually just stopped. Out of my eyes, that was a dynamite race last year. I was really pulling for you. Go ahead, Junior.
I remember that race.
I remember it was yesterday.
Yeah, that definitely stung, didn't it? Now that we're talking about it, we may as well talk about it. It stung hard.
It did, and you know, we've honestly been so close this year, and really our mile and a half program has been our strongest. So we've come close, and we want to finish this year out with a win. So we know we got a good package there. Jeff Hensley's got one or two more things I think he wants to try. And hopefully, you know, the theory is we're bringing a better truck back this year than we had last year. So we should have a fighting chance at it anyway.
Absolutely. Looking at, you know, we got to go back because we got to look at the race prior to this weekend. Martinsville. I want to talk to you a little bit about it because it was definitely it was a wild race over there in Virginia, but it had to be a lot of fun in behind the wheel of that truck. Obviously, it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it, and you wanted to win, but you guys got after it out there. That was one of the wildest truck races I've ever seen at Martinsville.
It really was, and that's saying something, you know.
It is. That's saying. That's a big statement.
It really is, but man, it got crazy. I don't know how many green flag laps we made in the second half of that race, but it couldn't have been very many. We started wrecking them early and often after that, and actually Jeff Hensley put us in great position to win that race. And man, we just got moved out of the way and then turned around and then wrecked and then wrecked again and before you know it, we ain't got a straight fender on the truck. But it's actually still driving good, and Jeff Hensley put some tires on it, and we're actually able to drive up towards the front and end up finishing fourth. So still not the win we were looking for there, but really a solid truck. We had a solid setup. We had good speed the whole time. The race didn't play out perfectly, and we used up every corner on the track getting there. But definitely something, you know, it's a race we can kind of look back and say, hey, you know, I think we hit on some stuff. That was actually a new package for us on the 98 team, front end wise for what we took there. So I feel like we learned some stuff and you know, that's going to be an important race there in the playoffs next year. So, I look back on Martinsville and yeah, I'm disappointed we didn't win, but I feel good about it. I feel good about what we learned.
Absolutely. We're right up alongside the top of the hour, but it is a yes or no question for you. You can't say any more than yes or no. Are you going to the Snowball Derby or not?
Maybe. Does that count?
No, that's it. Shut up. I'm just kidding.
So stay tuned is what we should do.
No, I wish, but right now it's a hard no, but I want it to be a yes.
Yeah,
10-4.
I don't know. That's one of those races I love going to, and just haven't been able to make it happen the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Grant Enfinger, come Friday night at Homestead Miami Speedway, just pull those belts a little tighter. I can guarantee you got a ton of support on both sides of the border for this final race of the year. I know you're going to go out there and put a show on for us. You tell those guys at Champion to put seatbelts wherever they're going to sit because they're going to need them come Friday night. This is going to be a great one.
That's right. Well, thank you all, Joe. And man, thank you for duking around to Thorson for this opportunity. Champion Power Equipment, Mike Curb and Curb Records, Protect the Harvest, the guys at Ford Performance, everybody that's allowed us to go racing this year. And we're going to do everything we can to bring them home a win on Friday night.
You get out there, you give her, and we'll talk to you in the off season, and we'll find out where 2020 is going to lead Grant Enfinger. Sound good?
Sounds great.
You betcha. Good luck in it, Grant. That is Grant Enfinger, driver the number 98 in that NASCAR Camping World Gander Mountain Truck Series. Look at that. End of the season.
It is what it is.
It is. You know what? That's going to do it for you and I tonight in the studio. I got to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio. Glenda, too. She's out there. And got to thank you all for tuning in. That's going to do it. We will catch you next week, providing I'm okay. And I can make my way out to the studio. I should be able to. But if not, it'll be the week after. Okay, everybody, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Have a safe week and enjoy Homestead Miami Speedway.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.